And then he played the recording, and suddenly I heard a voice that sounded like a professional radio host. And then I realized that's my voice. Crazy. In 10 seconds, why nobody on earth taught me that in school?
Hello, dear Lightwolf listener. Welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast, which is a very, very special one. It's my big honor, it's my big joy to welcome a very special guest here today. A warm welcome, dear Sven Gold.
Hello, I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Stefan.
For you guys listening now, who is Sven? Sven is a very special man, a former ice hockey professional who played that sport, that competitive sport, on an extremely high level, and then switched careers early on. You will share more in a moment, Sven. And since about 10 years, communications coach on big stages, a moderation coach and experts for performances like TAF or Germany's Next Top Model, often reaching millions in one specific episode. And what actually initially started as your plan B, in the meantime, has turned into a really impressive career. So a warm welcome, looking forward, being curious to learning who you are, what you believe in, and what you can share with this Lightwolf community. So let me start with the first question, Sven. Let's find out a little bit about you as a person, you as a young person, you as a child. Do you still remember what you wanted to become when you were a little boy?
Yeah, I always remember that because I've always been a dreamer, always. And I was always inspired by comic books. The number one was Mickey Mouse. And if you guys remember, there is this one guy who is inventing everything, Daniel Düsentrieb. He had a solution for everything. So I wanted to become an inventor. And I started to draw solutions in my uncle's and aunt's living room and was sure I had a solution for energy and like Elon Musk. I thought I could be the future Elon Musk. I wasn't.
Great vision. So, yeah. Great vision. But,
yeah, and in the end, the next step was actually when I saw Mickey Mouse skating on ice and playing hockey. So I ran to my mother and I said, "Mom, I want to do that too." And luckily, there was a place to play hockey like 10 minutes away from our new home. So I started that and I stuck with it until I was 24, but switched my career, as you said, when I became 19, because I realized all the hockey players are poor and broke all their bones and everything. And that's why I said, I really want to do something that I'm passionate about, yes, but I also want to secure my family because my family is from Serbia and I really felt how it is to be poor. And I saw that in my cousins and my family there. And I never wanted to have that for my family. So I wanted to find something where I can be the entertainer at the same time and also make enough money to support my family. So one day I was sitting in my living room and watched TAF. That's a huge boulevard magazine that we have in Germany. Probably in America you have E-Entertainment or something like that. And there was this one host, he's dancing, he's laughing, he is just having fun at his job. And I was thinking to myself, wow, and he gets money for that? Wow, I want to have the same job. So I said to my mother, Mama, okay. come here. I want to do that. That's the next thing I should do. And she said, yeah, go for it. So I started to try to figure out how to become a TV host. In the end, I know it's way harder than I thought it would be, but it was the right decision. And if I make a decision, I stick to it.
Fantastic. Now, today you are a successful moderator, entertainer, communications professional for leaders. Mm-hmm. How did it come to this career?
So when I started to get the job at the TV station, where everybody said, no, with your dialect, you can't host anything here. I got to, they even said I talk like a farmer because of my dialect. And I was like, wait, what? What? That was actually something new for me, because I thought if you're self-confident and if you're just talking, that's enough. But then I realized, okay, there are some other levels to this game. So they sent me to this communication trainer, and he also said the same. You talk like a farmer. You can do that. I show you how. And when I learned all the skills from him, especially with the dialect, I saw how fast you learn to improve and what an impact that has on everybody around you. Everybody around you perceives you in a different way. Suddenly everybody listens to me. Suddenly my voice changed. And I was like, after 2 hours of training with this one trainer, I had my first TV show after 2.5 months. And I was like, wow, on a business level, it changes everything, but also on a private level, that's interesting. And the switch to the communication training came pretty fast too. I was 1 year in the game, was hosting startup events, because I thought, okay, startup events is maybe a good thing to start with. Young guys, big visions. I can identify myself with that. So I started to host startup events, and suddenly the Buddha Bootcamp from Uber Buddha Media came up to me and said, wait, I like your way of hosting, Sven. Can you please teach our startups how to pitch well?
Okay.
And I said, I don't know if I can, but I can try. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And that was the first time I created this workshop with the knowledge and the skills I got from my coach and that I had from the practice of producing TV shows and doing radio and all that stuff. And then I tried to teach them what worked for me. So there were these 20 entrepreneurs from all around the world, young entrepreneurs, starting with 16 years old, one from India, one from Sweden, one from Portugal, and all around the world. And we even had this one 16-year-old from India, and I said to everybody, please talk for 2 minutes and I want to, so I can evaluate where maybe we can improve. So he wanted to start, talked for 10 seconds, was so nervous. So he said, no, I can do that anymore. And one day of training, improvisation, gestures, facial expressions, and also a little bit of voice training. And on the second day, on the final day where they present their startup, he was the best one of everybody. So not the most self-confident, wow, had the best presentation. No, the most insecure had the best presentation after 8 hours of training. And I was like, wow, that's crazy, because what works for me works for others. Cool. If somebody else or other accelerators want to come and I can help in some kind of way, I would love to do that. Because when I saw that, this change in 8 hours of training, it was insane.
Yeah, awesome. I think that clearly shows why you're so passionate, why it's so important for you, the topic of communication. That's clear to me. Now, when you see someone else, like you've seen me a year ago, when you see someone else communicate, how do you perceive how effectively someone else communicates?
I would say you can tell if someone communicates effectively by observing their audience. Are there emotions? They are trying to convey reaching the audience. Is the audience engaged, or do they get easily distracted, for example? Are they participating? And most importantly, what sticks with them afterwards? If you ask them, yeah, What do you think about a presentation? For example, the key factor, in my opinion, is emotion. The ability to convey emotion is what makes someone stand out as a communicator. It's not just about confidence, because there are a lot of people that are confident. I was confident too when I played hockey and was the entertainer for all the fans. But when it came down to performing in front of a camera, I was a beginner, and everybody saw that. And I think it's about all these little small details. It's about how many small details like gestures, tone, pauses, work together to deliver a compelling message. That's what eliminates nervous mistakes and create impact in the end. And if you, for example, you can see that if the facial expressions and the words somebody is saying aren't fitting together, it becomes inauthentic. For example, if you say, "Yeah, I'm really excited to be here," you don't believe it. And what you want, and what you want as a presenter, as somebody, maybe as a leader, you want to convey emotions. You want that everybody in your team gets the vision and lives the vision. So you have to create emotions, and so your face is the most crucial part that they do. And I've seen firsthand, even leaders who are excellent speakers on stage often struggle in front of the camera. The lack of audience feedback can make them nervous or cause them to forget the lines. I had this one client yesterday. He also said the same. "I'm so good in front of the audience. That's no problem. I don't get nervous. Just when I take a camera and talk to this black hole, I get nervous and I can't. No, that's nothing for me." And that's a sign of lack of preparation and also skill. You just have to do it over and over again, just like doing push-ups, for example. And that's why camera training, for example, is
great, amazing examples that show the power and that show the challenge as well, huh? And that show how you judge communication effectiveness. I'm thrilled that you start with the impact, the impact that the communication has on the audience and not just the intent. I mean, like in leadership, we are not paid for good intentions. We are paid for impact. And I love the fact that you first judge communication effectiveness by looking at the audience. Yeah? I think this audience focus and recipient-oriented communication is one other key that I see, that you don't just talk to get rid of all the many things you want to say, but you just say the few things that are relevant to your audience. But let me pick on those emotions for a moment. Really interesting and intriguing to me that you say, "I read the effectiveness of communication by how well a speaker engages emotion in people." Why is it so important that we don't just inform others, but unleash emotion?
I think it's everything. If we watch a movie, we want to feel emotions too. So if you have this monotone monologue by a professor, for example, that's nothing somebody wants to hear. And also we want to trust the person in front of us. And if he has no emotion in his face, no variation. And the same comes down to music too. The voice is like an instrument. And if you always play the same tone, that's not a song. A song has different melodies. Mm-hmm. It has different instruments. And so do you while you're talking. And even if you hear a house song, for example, it has different things too. For example, if you hear, there's a pause between it. So even the pause has a crucial part in a song. And that's where you can compare music and also the style of presenting. See it as your instrument. Your voice is your instrument, and you really have to learn to play it.
Yeah, very good. I completely agree. Plus, I think in many cases, people underestimate that one key benefit of communicating is to entertain and not just to convince. Yeah, it's important to probably have both. Yeah? You talked about the pause. And you work with many leaders, mainly from the angle of communication. My team and I, we work with leaders mainly through the lenses of strategy, leadership, and change. One of the observations I make is many leaders hesitate to make a pause. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
In my opinion, it's a lack of preparation and training because they are probably scared of the reactions of the audience. Maybe they haven't done it a lot. And with everything we aren't doing a lot, we're insecure about it. If I go to a kickbox training the first time, I'm scared of getting hit in my face, for example. So it's the same with the audience. And if you're standing in front of thousands of people and you're a leader, you have your reputation and you don't want to demolish it by a bad performance. So of course, there is nervousness. And that's why the training is a crucial part in the beginning to feel safe on stage, to be self-confident. And also if you self-reflect yourself and your performance, you know that your performance will be good. You aren't reliant on the opinion of the audience because you know it's good. Because you reflected yourself in an objective way, what is good, what is bad, what am I working on next, gestures, my tone of voice, maybe the filler words, and also the pauses. And if you're confident in yourself and your performance, you won't be scared. The same when I played hockey, if I trained good and I come into a pressure situation in front of the goal in the last second, and it all comes down to this one goal, I have to have trained really good that I'm relaxed in this situation because it's just another day. And I put the puck into the net. That's it. And that it's the same with communication too. If you train well, if you train enough, if you're good prepared and an expert in your field and you know what you're talking about, you won't be scared in front of the stage and even of the pauses too.
Yeah, I agree.
But also what I want to say about the pauses too, pauses are your helper and your friend because a lot of people rush through the presentation because they want to end the presentation because then it's over. But if you train pauses, it will be your best friend because then on the one hand, it helps the audience to understand what you just said. And the second part, it's the best helper for you because then you can think about in the moment what you want to say next.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're saying something very profound about the power of pauses, that it helps people think. It helps your listeners think about what they heard you say. And it gives yourself time to think. And half a second or a second, which is very good. I think that's one way how maybe people should think about the magic of pause. My observation in leadership training is that when people practice a typical leadership conversation, leading their subordinate, leading their boss, leading an important stakeholder, they are scared to lose control. Mm. They think they lose control when there is a pause. In fact, I think the opposite is true. You're never in more control than in the moment of pause because your audience is thinking. Thinking helps. Yeah. I wish there would be sometimes better thinking in the world. And that's a complete different way to think about the pause. Yeah. Now, so it has been a belief in myself as well. Let's talk for a moment about those self-limiting beliefs in communication. Now, when I was a young kid, it was a combination of two things, Sven. One, I was lazy. I was just too comfortable to get out of my comfort zone onto a small stage and speak. And I just built some fear. I was scared. Huh? And then over time, I just kept on talking to myself and telling myself I can't speak and I'm not good at it, which is completely wrong. I just put beliefs and the wrong ones, limiting beliefs, into my own brain. in your work, and you're working with so many strong people, people with influence, what are the most prominent self-limiting beliefs about communication?
I would say that the world becomes more complex, you know? So, and our attention span at the same time is shrinking because of social media and other distractions. So this has made communication even more challenging, especially when it comes to keeping people engaged, for example. And I think it's the fear that we talked about. It's something everybody in our world right now has to speak in front of a camera, for example. Nearly everybody. It's a new thing. And as I mentioned, in front of an audience, it's easier, but just talking to a camera, you need the training. And I think, I think that's the most self-limiting belief. I can't do that, for example. And I hate that sentence. I can't do that, because in the end, it's like with every sport, you have to train communication too. It's a skill, and that's a good sign for everybody. On the one hand, you have those who say, yeah, I'm so confident, I don't need the training. You do. Everybody that I saw, it doesn't matter how old, 16, 30, 50, if you haven't learned the specific skills, and I don't mean the structure of the presentation, I mean the gestures, to self-reflect about your facial expressions. Are they aligned with your words you're saying? Also with the pronunciation of the words in a sentence, and all these other things that are important, voice training, breathing, and all the skills you need. If you don't train them, you can't do them. So if you don't know, yeah. So you have to really train them.
Yeah, and I completely agree.
And at the same time, it's a good sign for everybody. Everybody that has the self-belief, I can't, good news for you guys. You can, because you just have to get your phone in front of you. Give yourself 5 minutes a day. That's enough. If you want to train more and be faster than anybody else, okay, do that. But 5 minutes of your time a day by recording yourself and also self-reflect what was good, what do I want to improve? Good. And then every week you just take one thing, like your gestures, and improve on that, and you go on with the rest. But that's my opinion in that case.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing this. Now, Sven, you know, and I'm sharing this now with this entire Lightwolf community here, the thousands of people listening to us. Me too, I'm an excited client of yours. I'm happy and glad that you're coaching me on communications and particularly on voice. When we met about a year ago, it took you less than 3 seconds to spot a barrier in me. Yeah? It started with a self-limiting belief, with a thinking. I thought, if I'm breathing into my belly, I am an unattractive man. That was my thinking. And as a result of that, I just had developed a bad habit over decades, which was breast breathing or chest breathing. I was breathing into my chest, which is the most limited space in my body, because it's surrounded by a cage of bones. Yeah. And I pushed my, I don't know the English word for Zwerchfell. I pushed my, my Zwerchfell upwards in order to avoid a big, ugly looking belly. That was my self-limiting belief. And that led to the wrong breathing in my life. And you met me, you saw me, and within less than 3 seconds, you spotted at my chest, you pointed at my belly, and you said, that's it. That was your problem, Stefan. You're breathing wrong. Yeah? Amazing what this has done to my work and to my life, Sven. Now, with that in mind and with your experience, what are the few biggest communication challenges of leaders?
Yeah, first thing, as you said, the voice is one of the most underestimated tools and skills that any presenter could use. For me, it was the same like you. I had this voice training, it was my third session or something, and he said, okay, we're going to do a voice warm-up session. I thought, what? I'm a hockey player. I don't need to train my voice or something. Should I dance my name or something like that too? Or what are we doing here? But when he started to record my cold voice, and then we did 10 seconds of voice training, and I saw the recording, and the audio wave was 3 times higher than the one with a cold voice. And then he played the recording, and I heard a voice that sounded like a professional radio host. And then I realized that's my voice. Crazy. In 10 seconds, why nobody on earth taught me that in school? Why? They all always talked about structures and stuff like that. I always wanted to have a great voice. When I was 13, maybe to impress some girls, but now obviously in my business, I could use that there too. And then I realized, oh man, that is a skill for everybody. And this is a small change for a big impact. Wow. So don't underestimate the voice. And if you're thinking you don't have a good voice, yes, not yet, because you haven't had this 10-second exercise. So if you think you have a bad voice, just train breathing. That's my one thing. Second part is, I think oftentimes it's the wrong attitude, because a lot of people are scared of the stage because they think of themselves being bad on stage, but that's not the goal. If you go on stage, you always should think of your audience. They are the goal. The goal is to give them so much value for their time they're spending with you that you and your performance doesn't matter at all. Otherwise, you're just arrogant. And that's something everybody should think about if they're going on stage. Do I have enough value? And if you have so, it doesn't matter if you're stuttering, if you have any other mistakes in your performance, because even if you have them, there was this one famous TEDx speech where Amy Cuddy was it, probably, I think, that said, yes, I'm stuttering, but the things I'm going to teach you guys is more important than that. So she had the whole audience in her favor because she immediately deleted the wrong belief about that people concentrate on her stuttering, because she said, yes, I'm stuttering, and that's a big mistake I have, but still I'm standing on stage. So it makes, even if you have something like that, where you're not sure about your performance, or maybe it's not stuttering, maybe it's something else you're not confident about, just present that and say, yeah, but I'm standing on stage because the things I'm saying, the things I'm teaching you now are important for everybody. And then you will have everybody on your side. And that showcases that the value you're giving is way more important than your performance. And awesome. That's something people get wrong oftentimes, I think. Yeah. It's the wrong arrogance.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that attitude point and that belief point very, very much. Very good. Thank you for sharing that, Sven. I have one more question regarding your self-development. You are developing leaders. You are developing me in communication. Now, how do you develop yourself, your own skill as a moderator and as a communications professional?
Communication is a lifelong process. You're never done with it. If you look at radio stations, there are professional radio hosts that are in the game for 30 years, but they still have an air check, which is a training with a speaking coach that is looking for mistakes. Are you still on top level or not? I experienced the same when I fell off a roof 4 months ago and nearly died, where I was lying on my back for 6 weeks, and now it's 4 months after the accident, and I start back with talking into a camera, talking to you, Stefan, now, and I see myself in my recordings and doing more mistakes than before because I'm not in practice like I've been before. So I see, even though I'm doing that for over 10 years now and doing nothing else because that's my passion, even though I'm training a lot of amazing people like you, Stefan, and other investors and other amazing human beings, it's still a constant practice. And if you don't do the practice, your skill level downgrades immediately. So it's growth comes from practice, challenges, and also surrounding myself with the right people. For example, I just mentioned that working with clients also helps me, for example, grow. I see their fears. I see their concerns daily. And it's fascinating to notice the same patterns over and over. It doesn't matter what age they are. This keeps me connected to the challenges people face and helps me refine my approach. You know, it's also if you see some patterns in different people, you can refine them. And it's a constant thing for me too, in coaching and also in hosting. And I also push myself into unfamiliar territory always. For example, I know one story of that was 2016. I was the host for a startup event, and I should host one session. And 10 minutes before I started the show, the organizer came up to me, and that was in Genoa, Italy, for example. And he said, Sven, two of my hosts, they canceled. Can you please do this 45 minutes expert talk about cryptocurrency with Marco Streng from Genesis Mining? And I said, about what? Crypto, what? Because it was 2016. Yeah. I'm a media guy. I'm not, at the time, I'm not in tech. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not an entrepreneur, nothing like that. I know I do crazy shit on the internet, but I don't know anything about crypto something and Bitcoin that he talked about. And he said, yeah, you're going to do that. And he explained myself in 10 minutes what cryptocurrency is, what Bitcoin is. I didn't understand anything. And I just pushed myself to do that expert talk. And with the communication training and preparation I had before and the experience I had with different other situations like that, I was confident enough to ask the right questions, and it was a great performance. And that's what keeps me going every day. I push myself in unfamiliar territory, and that makes me better and better and better. And finally, one, for me, it's the most important part. We all heard it. It's the people you surround yourself with. And I always did that. And I always had the confidence to also tell people into their face, I don't want to hang around with you because I don't think it's a good thing, because I don't think you're the right person for my circle. I surround myself with grounded, driven people who push me to grow also. It's, for example, you, Stefan, Daniel, Alex Giesecke from Simple Club, who became also a great friend of mine. All of them have great visions. Oftentimes when I'm around the whole Ivor people, especially in Sweden, where we met Stefan, or in Lissabon at the Sigma Summit, there are so many intelligent young people where I, as a media guy, feel really stupid sometimes, like the most stupidest guy in the room. But at the same time, I like that because I know I can learn from them. They see maybe blind spots I don't see. They tell me and help me with everything. So I grow with them. And that's what I like, because as I'm spending time with them, I observe them too. I learn from them. Maybe I can help them. They can help me, and we grow together. And that's something I really like, and that helps me with my moderator career and also as a communication coach. And also I love to spend time with them and also with you, Stefan. That's why I really appreciate to be here today.
The pleasure is all mine, and I'm sure the pleasure is the one of our audience. And with that in mind, let's zoom towards a close. And I'd like to ask you one final question, which is, do you have a message, or do you have a question to share here with our Lightwolf community?
I have one question. If you heard everything we talked about today, imagine you don't do the communication training or you aren't practicing communication. Think of how much potential you leave behind yourself or how your life could be if you would train communication. That's something everybody should think about. And maybe that's the reason you're going to start practicing it with 5 minutes and your phone in your hand and self-reflecting and getting better every day.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that appeal and that message to the audience, to the Lightwolf community here. Dear listener, dear audience, I'm sure you agree what a wonderful, huge amount of wisdom, of value, of insights, of tips, how you impact a room, how you communicate as a leader, how you have the impact you want. I'm very grateful to you, Sven, that you've taken the time to be here with us today and that you're in my life, Sven. And if you guys here in the call also would like to get in touch with Sven to see whether you would like to work with him, we will just put Sven's contact details here into the show notes. For today, thank you very much, dear Sven.
Thank you, Stefan. I'm honored. Thank you, guys.
See you soon. Take care. Bye, Sven.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.